Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome again to the Matthew James A Medium Hour. It's been about a year since I last did the show. I'm just trying to get some music to play. This is a test broadcast, so my apologies if it doesn't go as smoothly as it used to do. It's got a new studio here on Blog Talk, so I'm just trying to find my way around the ropes. So bear with me a second whilst we play the first piece of music. Silent Lucidity by Queensryche. Quite an appropriate track, really, just to kick things off.
Save the face.
Well, what a crazy 12 months that has been for me since, pardon me, I was last on this particular radio show. It's been crazy. It's been full of highs and lows. It's good to be back on the bicycle. Hopefully, I'm going to ride it as well as I did last time around. Just for those of you who might be listening to this show for the very first time, I'll just quickly introduce myself. I'm Matthew James. I am a medium and clairvoyant. I've been in the industry professionally now for about 30 years, here in Australia, in New Zealand, and also in the UK. I do call myself as a traditional old style medium. Traditional old style medium because I'm a little bit like the Doris Stokes and Doris Collins is. I sort of deliver messages from the other side. I say it as I get it from people who are in the spirit world, and I'm basically a conduit and a channel from their world to our world. That's the basis of my work. Now, I also do the accurate clairvoyant predictions. I do use clairvoyance, clairseeing. For those who don't know what clairvoyance is basically the art of predicting the future effectively, and also being an intuitive counselor. The intuitive counselor aspect of the clairvoyance is where you have a client sitting at your table, or you have a client on the phone, or you have a client on Skype. You automatically and instinctively know what their problem is, what's caused the problem, and also you know what the solution is. So you're able to assist your client by really seeing the situation through their eyes and being able to see the aspects of their situation that maybe they can't see for themselves. And that's the clairvoyant side. Now, I do also work clairaudiently. I do work clairsentiently as well. Clairaudiently is, quote unquote, the voices in the head. It's not an external voice. That was the mistake that I actually made in the early part of my own psychic development when I was told I was clairaudient, but I was waiting for the direct voice or the external voice, and I doubted that I was actually a clairaudient. But clairaudient is one of the gifts of these, what we call mental mediumship, meaning it's going on within your head. People often mistake their own thoughts for mediumship, and they also mistake the clairaudient voices or the separate voices as their own voices. This is the confusion that is around the mental mediumship state. I tend to get direct information from spirit, from someone's grandfather, someone's grandmother, or someone's uncle, someone's friend, or someone's auntie, because they tell me with their voice in the back of my mind, and I can generally say, your grandmother died of this, your grandfather died of this, and they're giving me this information. That, to me anyway, my interpretation of what clairaudience and what mediumship is, it isn't they telling me this, they're telling me that, and spirit is saying this, spirit is saying that. Often that is your own mind, your own higher self. I don't knock the standard of the message that they are telling me and this and spirit is saying this. There is a standard, there is still a quality to that message, but it's generally your own mind. It is not usually mediumship of the level that I'm actually referring to. Then we have, obviously, I mentioned the clairsentience, which is picking up the feelings, the emotions, and the conditions of the person who has deceased. Generally, I get the clairsentience as a validation. I generally will say, your grandfather died of a heart attack because I'm feeling the heart attack. Or your auntie had like for example, she had a brain tumor, because generally I feel the condition in my head and I can actually describe it. That's the clairsentience, but it tends to be my own means of communicating with the other side. But this is what I've been developing for about the last 30 years, and really it's something that is a work in progress. Nobody knows everything. Nobody stops learning. Nobody stops growing. And there is always scope in the life of a medium to actually learn things new, to find about new aspects of the trade. That's what makes this whole thing so so interesting. That's the aspect. I mean, I put on Facebook a couple of days ago that I absolutely love my job. I think it was a question on a Facebook page: which would you prefer, to win the lottery or to have a job that you really enjoy doing, or having your perfect job? And I put the lottery down because, as far as I'm concerned, I've got the perfect job. I've got the job that's really I'm well suited to, and I can't imagine myself doing anything else, to tell you the truth. Now, for those who haven't heard of me before and do want to actually find out more about me, my website is www.matthewjamesmedium.com, and it's Matthew with two T's. All the information is on my website, and basically, distance is no object with me. I've got clients in the UK, I've got clients in the US, I've got clients Philippines, India, France, Holland, Australia, New Zealand, just about many places. I've done readings for clients in Argentina, in Mexico, because I do phone readings, I do Skype readings, as well as the one-to-one readings. That is one aspect of the job that I do, but I'm also I'm very much a stand-up medium as well. I do a lot of live shows. I do a lot of platform mediumship. Indeed, just looking at my diary, I've got my diary in front of me because I was just going to let people know where and when they can actually see me. This particular weekend, I'm going to be in Wangaratta in Victoria here in Australia. I'm going to be at the Healthy Soul, Healthy Life Expo. That's this Saturday and Sunday. I will be doing one-to-one readings there, but I also will be doing live stage performances both days. I'm very much like the Lisa Williams, very much the John Edwards, that I will go on stage, and if I come to you when you're in the audience, I will provide proof of life after death. I mean, that's to tell you the truth, it's the thing I enjoy doing the most, is the stand-up work. It's a real challenge to have a live audience in front of me, because really, it's putting my money where my mouth is, really, and I'm proving that there is life after death. I'm also going to be doing a live show on the 23rd of October 2014 at the Pallet Hotel in Rydalmere. Rydalmere is in New South Wales, not far from Parramatta. The evening starts at 7 p.m. There is a two-course meal cooked by a celebrity chef on that evening, included in the price, as well as a free glass of wine. Now, for further details of that particular event, you can either find it on Facebook, or you can contact the Pallet Hotel itself and speak to Jess. Jess is the manageress there. She is taking the bookings for that particular show. So that's on the 23rd of October. The 25th of October, I'm going to be at the Living Energy Shop in I can't even pronounce the shopping centre. Wanga. Oh, I can't remember it. Anyway, it's a Living Energy Shop. I'm going to be doing readings from the Living Energy Shop. It's the Wangara Mall, I think it is, in Sydney. On the 25th of October. I should have rehearsed that name before, realizing I was going to be mentioning it here on the show. So my apologies, but I will be at the Living Energy Shop. On the 31st of October, I'm going to be at Embrace in Miranda, Westfield Miranda. I'm going to be doing my second stint of one-to-one readings there. Anybody who wants a reading there, contact Rosie at Embrace, and she's taking my bookings for me. Even just in case you're listening, Rosie, hi Rosie, just give you a quick shout out. You do a wonderful job, Rosie. I can't wait to actually catch up with you at Embrace again. And then finally, on the 2nd of November, I'm going to be at the newly named Crystal Chalice Shop. It's Lily Two's, the formerly Lily Two's Books and Crystals, at Gold Creek in Canberra on the 2nd of November. It's the opening for the shop. There is actually going to be a small expo there. I am going to be available for one-to-one readings there. Now, I do have a number of callers who are hanging on. Hello to Area Code 36, 0, area code 216, area code 832, and area code 402, just to mention a few. If I've got time in the last portion of this show, I'll probably take a couple of live calls. My intention wasn't actually to do this evening. I was just going to just do a test broadcast just to really get back up into fifth gear with this particular bicycle that I'm riding. I'm just going to go over to the Facebook page, the event Facebook page, because I did put a question out there, a question for everyone. What would you like us to discuss in this, our first new show? I generally have studio guests. And in future shows, I will be having studio guests again. I know I've got a number of friends that I really would like to have back on the show. Plus, someone else who is going to be very special to me next year. I'm going to have a special involvement with next year. I'm not going to name that person until it's officially unveiled, but I'm really hoping that this person is going to come on the show with me on a future broadcast. I'm probably going to be going to a two-hour show again in future weeks, which is what I used to do. Now, I'm just going to just say a few quick hellos and shout-outs to those that I knew who have been listening and who have been asking suggestions for the show. Hi, Pixie. You wanted me to talk about the ethics of the psychic world, the psychic industry. Now, Pixie, I will be actually dedicating a whole show to this particular subject probably in a few weeks, so I'm actually going to discuss this matter this evening. Hi, Megan. You've mentioned I'd like to hear about how to develop your abilities when you discover they are there. I'm going to probably touch on that in the mid part of tonight's show, because I do want to talk about psychic development very shortly. Sean, hi Sean, hope you enjoyed the reading earlier. You want to talk about psychic development, that's absolutely fine. This is going to be part and parcel of this and many other of the broadcasts once I get back into the swing of things. Hi Jade, you want to know about decalcifying the pineal gland? You want to know more about development and other, are there other ways to meditate other than the traditional way? Like, do bioral beats really work? Yes, Jade, bioral beats do actually work. For anyone who doesn't know what a binaural beat is, it's where it works with sound frequency, and there's a recording or there's a software where you have one sound frequency in the left ear, you have one sound frequency in the right ear, and when those two sound frequencies combine in the central part of the mind and the pineal gland area, there is another sound frequency or a completely different one that is made up of the other two sound frequencies. Dependent on what the sound frequency is you use, you can help alleviate insomnia, you can aid healing, you can Even repair the DNA. You can also help with deeper meditation. You can help with concentration. There are a number of binaural pieces of music that I've actually heard and have actually used. I say they are extremely beneficial. So I can go into those in a great more detail in the coming weeks. Now, I won't actually play one over the radio, over the airwaves, because it's not particularly advisable, but I can sort of lead people to areas on the internet where we can find particular software and pieces of music. Now, Gloria, how to be in the moment to notice any signs that spirit show us? I can discuss that as well, absolutely no problem. Again, I might not be able to pick it do it in this particular show, but I will hope to get to it in the near future. Matthew Barry, can you share your story with us, your first experiences, the way you see life, spirit, states of consciousness, what we really are, where we come from, how to realize more about our real self without being glued to the outside world? I like that particular question. I can do a whole show around that one. I can introduce that as well. Roz, you want to talk about the awakening and dimensions and how spirit communicates with us through dreams? I can do that with pleasure. I can do that absolutely no problem. I've got a list of really, really good ideas there, which I'm going to put a piece of music on. I'm just going to play my next piece of music, which will take us into the next part of the show. And then I'm going to pick one of those questions, and I'm just going to do a little bit of a discussion. I'll just do a little bit of a discussion based on those ideas. I'm just going to choose one in particular. Now, I'm looking for the piece of music. There's so many. Here is another favorite of mine. It's one of the Scorpions classics. Just bear with me whilst it starts playing. I'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Shine.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Matthew James Medium Hour. It's a test broadcast. I'm back on the bike after about 12 months because for those of you who don't know, on the 28th of October 2013, I was actually overcome with serious acute pancreatitis, which is actually brought on by a polyp in my duodenum that did actually block the pancreal duct, and I was actually in hospital for 12 weeks and I lost 40 kilograms in weight. And really this year has been all about getting myself back on my feet, emotionally, physically and spiritually. Now, as far as my spirituality is concerned, I consider myself a lot stronger than I was about a year ago. Now, on that particular subject, I do want to just go back to when I was in the first 6 weeks when I was in hospital. So that's October, November, even into December. And when I was, some of you are going to be thinking, okay, what's he going on here? I just need to remind you, I want to talk about a bit about spiritual development and a little bit about myself. And one thing I actually learned when I was in the hospital room was something that I now term the memory body. I was in that much pain. I was in and out of my physical body. And at times, at first I didn't actually realize what was going on with me. I was just in pain and then I was out of pain. And then I was in awareness and out of awareness. I was in and out of consciousness for the first few weeks it was unbearable, but I started realizing that I was in my body when I wasn't in my body. And when I wasn't in my body, I was feeling like I was in my body. I mean, this is it sounds a confusing state, but that's really what was happening to me. And generally how I was discovering this was in the early hours when I couldn't sleep. I mean, it was so uncomfortable, the bed. I ended up actually sleeping in the chair beside the bed. And I would be very much on my own, just out with my own thoughts at that particular time. And this is when spirit actually started coming to me and communicating with me, and more so than I'd ever done before. And they were pointing out to me, and this was like family members and other patients in the room, people who had passed in the hospital, they were all pointing out to me that I was actually in something that I'm calling the memory body. The memory body, in that all the essence of the physical body is still there. Your thoughts are still there. Your awareness is still there. You can still feel your hands, your arms. You can still feel the aches and pains in your body, but the pain's not there. The pain's not there as such. And the more that you actually drift into this memory body, the more that the pain begins to recede, and the more that the feeling of bliss that's described with the white light and the tunnel of light you associate with the near-death experience was actually coming into play with me. Now, I actually nearly died, so I did have that connection with the other side. And a good friend of mine, Maria Elita, I don't know if Maria, you are listening to this evening, but thank you so much for what you actually did for me at the start of the year. Maria sent me one of her wonderful crystal mats, and I used to actually sit on this crystal mat, and it did actually help me with meditation, and it did actually help me with this awareness of the memory body. And what was happening was I was actually going out of body with my memory body, and I was actually going to lower realms of the spiritual plane. I was actually in the spirit world, and the people that I was actually talking to were other patients in the hospital who were in critical stages, were in comas, and they were sort of drifting around in that in and out state where really the soul doesn't know whether it's going to be remaining in the body for very much longer, or that the soul was trying to disconnect itself from the physical body, and all that was connected, it was still connected with the astral cord, but it wasn't in the physical body. I was dealing with these individuals, and they were very much on a par with me, and they were associating with me, and they were pointing out with me that it was still very much touch and go with the condition that I had, because I was critically ill. Well, when spirits came to me, they started then teaching me about the lower planes, just in case I wasn't going to be coming back into the physical body. So I was drifting off into the spirit world. I was off into the realms. I was meeting members of family. I was meeting friends over there. I was being taken to places that were actually over there, which are very similar to the earth plane. And I began to receive quite a lot of memory downloads, and I was getting a lot of soul memory back, and I was doing a lot of soul retrieval work in this particular state. And I've got to let people know who are wondering where their loved ones are at this moment in time. They, from what I understand, are in a perfect replica world to this, or we are in a replica world to theirs. Because when I was in this particular memory body state, I could not discern what was the earth plane and what was the spirit world, because they are so, they overlay, they are so very much the same. The only difference with them being in the spirit world is that the feeling of physical pain subsides, the feeling of bliss, unconditional love and oneness is overwhelming, and the closer and closer you get to the spirit world, the stronger this feeling of oneness and bliss becomes the norm in your mind. I'm trying to put into words the experiences that I still remember, but all I know is that there were so many teachings that were going on to me. There were members of spirit that, as far as they were concerned, I was now a member of their world, because my body was in such a critical state. And I have to admit that the times that I couldn't cope with being in the physical body, when the pain was too much, and the endone and the morphine and all everything else, that the concoctions that I on began to wear off, the early hours when the nurses were not coming around, when the pain relief, and I couldn't cope with it, I was literally lying on Maria's crystal bed, and I was literally going straight then into the spirit world in my memory body. I was drifting around the whole... What? Oh, shit, it's not... What, it's this wife of mine. What's wrong with you? What? I've got my co-producer here making some commentary. My wife Chris is putting her hand over my face. Oh, she's saying that I'm mumbling. Okay, my apologies to everyone. This is live radio. But as I was saying, when I was drifting into the spirit world, I was obtaining a lot of spiritual downloads, because really. Members of spirit didn't know whether I was in the earth plane, or I was remaining on the earth plane, or I was passing, or we really didn't know what was happening. So my understanding now of the spirit world is a lot greater than it was. My connection with the spirit world is now 10, 50, 100, 150 times stronger than it was a year ago. I'm now very much aware of my shamanic nature. I very much am a Celtic shaman. Now, I'm a Celtic shaman because my dad's lineage is very much the Scots, very much the Nord. My mum's lineage is very much Irish, Welsh, French. So I am very much got the cellular memory and the ancestral memory of being the Celt. So this is where I get the Celtic side from. Now, my understanding of an indigenous shaman, you don't necessarily have to go on a course. You don't necessarily have to be taught by an elder on the earth plane. So long as that you are chosen by spirit, so long as you're one of the chosen ones, where a spirit will come and choose you at a young age and work with you throughout your life. Well, my story basically is, anyone who doesn't know me, I mean, anyone who does know me, I've bored them to tears about this particular story, but I mean, the story goes at about the age of approximately 3, 4, or 5, I think it's probably more like the age of 4, I I'm going to say a well-known archetypal energy chose to work with me. He used to sit on the foot of my bed. It was a white-haired man, white-bearded man, very much the Merlin-looking figure who night after night would sit on the foot of my bed and talk to me, very real, very substantial to me. He would touch my arm. So I knew there was a solid form there. I knew it was a member of spirit. That's as much as I knew as a child. I remember doing astral travels. I used to go off into the universe. I would be taken to worlds. I know for a fact there's life on other worlds. I know that there are alien beings. I know there are beings that look very much like the human race, because I was shown all these different things as a 4 or 5 year old. And all the way through my life, my particular spiritual path has been dedicated to Merlin. Not the Merlin that is in the sort of the Arthurian legends, the fable Merlin, but an actual Merlin, because Merlin is actually a title for the wild seer. There are many, many, many Merlins. Merlin is just a title, just as magician is a title, just as wizard is a title, so Merlin is a title. The original Merlin, the Welsh Merlin, it may have been him, it may not have been. What was important was it was a Merlin, it was a wild seer who connected to me. I've very much been interested in the Merlin, working with the Merlin all the way through my life, really. Then a little bit later on in my development, I then was associating with Odin, the Nordic god Woden, with the runes. I was taught how to read the runes by spirit. I then, at a later date, began to connect with the Egyptian deity Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, it's Thoth. And then, a little bit further down the lines, there was Hermes, and there was also the prophet Enoch. And when I did a little bit of research, I actually found out that Thoth, Enoch, Odin, and Merlin are all one and the same entity, and the idea is that it's different incarnations of that universal archetypal entity. And what I understand is this archetypal entity had chosen me and wished to work with me. So this is why, when I found out fairly recently that somebody who walked an indigenous shamanic path is chosen by spirit at an early age and you work with spirit, the whole of pieces began to actually fit together, because most of the information that I teach and the most of the information that I follow, I've not read in any books. None of it has really come from the internet or library reference material. It's just I have an inherent knowing of information, and people who know me will sort of be agreeing with this, that I sort of do a download and the information is there at hand, and I pass it on to other people. And it's the way that it's always been with me. So I'm very much the shaman, and very much the Celtic shaman. And the period of early January, late December, February was pretty much the period when I put all the soul fragments together, where I started doing the traditional soul retrieval. I'm now at a point in my own psychic development, my own spiritual development. I'm really in need now of an external teacher. I've had a spiritual teacher. I had a spiritual teacher, spirit teacher, from the age of 5 up to about the age of about 18, 19. Entities would continue to link to me throughout my life, giving my life story, life passages, what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. Then around about the age of 18, 19, I met my wonderful mentor, Paula Paradima, who I spent about 12 years in her development group, learning the Kabbalah, learning really how to suppress and control the ego. Vital work in this field, because the problem with this particular field, it does somehow, let's say, promote the false ego. It does somehow feed the selfish separate ego as the selfish separate self, sorry, that the old Atlanteans would call it, if you do not have ego control. Just touching on the question that Pixie asked me, from memory. The morals and the ethics of this industry, the first thing that you really need to learn, any would-be psychics or mediums out there, you have to learn to suppress and control the ego. You can't destroy the ego. It's impossible to destroy the ego because the ego is part and parcel of itself. But it is possible to suppress it and control it and mold it and merge it, really, that you as a central id, you as the higher self, have control of that separate ego. You need that ego when you're out on stage or when you're in front of a TV camera or like when you're on radio or anything of that nature. You do need to have that ego to be able to have the confidence to do the work that you're doing. But as far as when you're working with your clientele, as far as the mediumship messages, as far as the one-to-one readings, as far as dealing with clients is concerned, the ego should never, ever come into a consultation. It should never, ever come into your decision-making. You should always remember that spirit, your service is to spirit. Spirit are the ones that will teach you. Spirit are the ones who will pride you, who will reward you. The human race will not reward you. The human race rewards the ego. And when you have adoration and you have all of the sense of false ego standing in the way of your work, spirit will switch you off. You've got to remember when you're working as a medium, when you're working as a clairsentient, you are still in connection with a conscience, a living consciousness. It may not be in a physical body, but it is still a consciousness. You've got to realize it in a body. It's not in a physical world body, but it is in a body on its own vibration, and it is still connected to you, and it still will have opinions, and it still will have choices. And when it has a choice between somebody who is humble, who is full of unconditional love, who is selfless, or somebody who's full of ego and all about themselves and all about plastic trophies and all about seeing how the outside world sees them, spirit will choose the former, not the latter. They will work with somebody who is selfless and full of universal consciousness. You should always remember that. It is not about the title. It is not about what other people think of you. It is not about the adoration this field. It is about being in service of spirit and being as accurate and honest and selfless as you can as a conduit and a channel between the two worlds. That seems to be being forgotten at this moment in time, a moment in human history. Unfortunately, money and greed gets in the way. Anybody out there who's listening who thinks that a medium or a psychic shouldn't earn any money whatsoever and it should be a free service. Unfortunately, if I was to go to Coles or Woolies and go to the girl on the desk and say, well, I'm not earning any money because I can't charge any money because I'm a medium and clairvoyant, therefore, please give me free food, I don't think that's going to happen. And if I was to go to Telstra and say, look, I don't earn any money because I'm a medium and a clairvoyant, and I can't earn any because that's the job that I do, please give me a free phone line, somehow I don't think that's going to actually happen. We do have to make a living. Spirit, understand that there has to be energy exchange. Money is an energy exchange. The thing about this spiritual path, the true spiritual path, and this is one thing that frustrates my wonderful wife, Chris, is that I'll say to her, they will always give us just what we need. They will always keep a roof over our head, but not much else until other aspects of the universe come in. So anybody who's earning an astronomical amount of money in this field, in whatever modality, what I will say is it's going to come a time when it will all balance itself up and you will have a part of the pathway. It will be poverty. It's rags to riches. You go from riches to rags and rags to riches. It's all part and parcel of the experience. Now, I'm getting a little bit of a sore throat with all the waffling that I'm doing, so I'm actually going to play another piece of music. Now, I'm hoping it is the version that I like about on this particular song. It's an old Whitesnake favourite of mine. It's Here I Go Again, and I'm hoping it's the original version. So here goes. medium hour, the test broadcast. So I'm just basically trying to get back into fifth gear on this particular bicycle. It is 12 since I was on Blog Talk, and I'm really just hoping to get myself back into full flow again, just as much as I did about a year ago. Now, the next show is going to be a two-hour show. It is going to be planned for Tuesday the 28th of October at 7 o'clock. So it's going to be the same time, but in 2 weeks' time. Now, I will be taking live calls on that particular show. I generally find in the one-hour shows that time goes so damn quickly. The two-hour shows, what I'm intending to do is to do an hour of chat, conversation, philosophy, learning, teaching, discussion, and an hour of live calls. So there is a guarantee that if you tune in 2 weeks' time to the Matthew James Medium Show, I'm going to drop the hour. I'm going to call it the Matthew James Medium Show. I will take live calls. The plan is, ideally, if you could talk more, ask me questions about philosophy more than personal life and personal one-to-one questions. Not that I won't take a one-to-one question. I mean, I do live readings on radio. I mean, this is one of the things I do about with my radio show. But I would also like really to discuss, anybody got any things about what's astral projection, or this dream's happening to me, or this is happening to me, or this phenomenon is happening to me. So we can all basically learn from that discussion. So like I say, it's going to be 2 weeks from now, the 28th of October. I will be doing my next show. Anybody who wants further details on me, Matthew James, please go over to my website, which is www.matthewjamesmedium.com. Matthew with two T's. I am on Facebook. My public figure page can be found on Facebook by putting MJ Medium, all capitals, into the search engine. It is Matthew James Medium on Facebook. I'm trying to fire up all the discussions, etc., on there as well. Now, we are down to about the last 5 minutes, probably about the last 3 minutes of discussion. So I'm just going to say to everybody that it's been great to actually be able to do this show again for you. I will be having a studio guest next time round, and I'm kind of wondering who it's going to be. I've got a feeling who I do want to have on the show. She does have her own radio show as well, and I know I was scheduled to go on her show last minute on Saturday. Reen Barracks, if you are listening to this particular broadcast, please prepare yourself for next 2 weeks today to appear on the show with me. I think we can have a brilliant discussion, and I think we both can take some live shows. It will be your first time on the Matthew James and Medium show, but I'm pretty sure that you'll become one of my regular guests. I'm hoping to get hold of Maria again and get Maria back on so we can talk about Atlantis. I'm hoping to get Indigo Taro Norell back on. I'm hoping to get Polly back on. I'm hoping to get Chris Aldous back on, and of course, if you're listening, Mike Davis, the founder of Mike Spirit FM, I'm pretty certain that you will be on the show again, and I'm pretty sure you'll be inviting me onto your own show. So I do have quite a few people in the pipeline, and then there is also going to be the big, hopefully big mystery guest. I don't know whether it's going to be this year or next year. It depends when things are being announced, but there is a big, big name that I do want to bring onto the show. So that is another thing that's in the pipeline. So really, I'm virtually out of time at this point. I've got about 5 minutes, so I've got to do the fade out piece of music. But anybody who is in Victoria here in Australia at the weekend, if you are in and around Wangaratta, please come and see me at the Health Soul and Healthy Life Expo. I will be doing one-to-one readings, and I will be doing a live show on both the Saturday and the Sunday. I will be doing some mediumship. So, I will be doing that. If anybody is in the Rydalmere area of Parramatta, Sydney, and you do fancy a celebrity meal and a live mediumship show, on the 23rd of October, I will be at the Palette Hotel. You need to call the Palette Hotel and speak to Jess to organise tickets. You can go on my Facebook page. There is a banner on there if you want those details. Anyone who's in the Sutherland area of Sydney, or even in the Sydney area on the 31st of October, which is a Friday, I will be at the Embrace Shop at Miranda Westfield doing one-to-one readings. The 25th of October, I'll be at the Living Energies shop, and it is at Wangamal. It's one of the Sydney Malls. It's over near the Northern Beaches. I will be at the Crystal Chalice shop here in Canberra at the Gold Creek on the 2nd of November at the Expo for the opening of that particular shop. So I'm also available on my website to organise one-to-one readings in the Canberra area, Skype readings and phone readings anywhere else in the world. Distance really is no object for me. I do readings all over the world. Now, unfortunately, we are now at the end of the show. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Didn't that go so quickly? We've got about 3 minutes left, and I'm just going to fade out with a particular favourite instrumental track of mine by the late guitarist of Free, a guy called Paul Kotov. It's a track called Time Away, and I absolutely love this song. So until next time, everybody, bye for now. I'd just like to do a quick shout out for Michelle and for Alini, who have asked me on the Facebook page to give them a bit of a shout out. So there you go, Michelle. And Sean as well. I'll give Sean a shout out as well. And anybody else who is on my friends list, hi to everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I'll speak to you all again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to Matthew James Medium. You can contact Matthew anytime by logging on to www.matthewjamesmedium.com. Until next week, Goodbye.
And don't forget, I'm on Facebook as well. My Facebook search is MJ Medium, all capital letters. Come over to my public figure page, like the page, and join in. Bye for now, everybody.